Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Little Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Stu Gotts in for Boomer the rest of the week, and you had heard the news of Craig Carton doing Yankees play-by-play with Susan Waldman coming up in August, and that jogged your memory to a time when you had an opportunity to do baseball play-by-play for a professional team. It ended up being a spring training game, I believe. But
if you want to call the Marlins professional, yes.
So you called a Marlins spring training game with David Sampson?
It was me, David Sampson, who at the time was the Marlins team president.
Okay.
So he's in the booth with me and Levitar.
Okay.
Who I do the show with, obviously. And so the three of us were doing the call of a game. And I thought it was a good idea at the time. And I think Carton calling the games is a good idea. It's fun, right? I do wonder how John Sterling feels about it. I know how Michael Kay feels about it. And so I am wondering.
Michael Kay say something about it?
No, but you know how he feels. I don't need him to say a single word about it. You know he's not happy about it.
Okay.
I don't care. Well. I mean, I'm shoving words in Michael Kay's mouth, but
apparently.
I can do that. I mean, Michael, I love you, but I'm guessing he's not happy. I'm certain Sterling's not happy as well, but we digress.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that. We don't know that.
These are traditional play-by-play guys. You think they want someone like me or Craig Carton calling a game?
I don't know. Michael Kay was in competition with Craig. They didn't say, you know, they said bad things about one another. That might be a different situation. But Sterling's an entertainer, right? And I think that, I don't know if Sterling would be upset about it. To be honest with you, I think he would say, "Have fun. I think it's great. It's an opportunity for New York Yankees." Like,
no,
I think he would be into it.
I think he thinks other guys should get these opportunities, not Craig Carton. That would be my guess. I have no idea.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I think you're wrong with Sterling.
I think you're wrong.
All right. Okay. All right, so go ahead.
Good talk. So anyway, we're doing the game. I thought it was going to be easy. And so this is my concern for Craig. It's not easy. This thing is not.
Well, baseball play-by-play especially, where you got to come up with stuff.
But it's where I thought me and Dan would really shine because we're talk show hosts. We can we can have fun. We can be a little bit different. The actual calling of the game was really tricky.
All right, so we've got 3 play-by-play cuts.
I'm scarred. I mean,
this exhibition spring training game.
Yes.
Where you were calling a Marlins spring training game. So let's hit the first one there, Al.
Here's the 0-1. Swings and miss. 0-2 the count now to Tracy.
Misses. Swings and misses.
There's Levitard. Always over my shoulder. Right. I mean, correcting me.
I think you wanted to get, you got caught between swings and misses and swing and a miss.
But the 0-1 sounded good, right?
That felt good.
I remember it feeling good coming out of my mouth.
So that was just the beginning of what was a long day for you.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty big at-bat, Stu.
Does that include the shot he took in the face when he was standing in the on base?
Stu, you got to stop talking when there's a hit.
Logan Morrison with a big base hit up the right side, and Martinez slides into first and third, no out here in the bottom of the third inning.
Slides into first?
Yeah. Wrong base, wrong guy, wrong player. I'm not even certain it was Martinez. I'm not following the action. You hear the crack of the bat. You hear the ball go away. And then I start calling it.
And you say, oh, by the way.
And I have no idea what I was saying on the front end of Sampson. I mean,
slides into first was really the thing that got lost in that whole thing. Let's go to the next one.
Carpenter deals. Some chin music to Gabby Sanchez.
Chin music normally isn't swung at.
David,
swung at that,
I got news for you. I was getting chin music in no matter what today.
This is radio, Stu.
I was getting
Please
my chin
attention.
Music in.
It's hard, man. That's my only concern is Craig Carton, who's built up, you know, a nice reputation in this market. Okay, yeah. The fans of this station probably love Craig Carton. I am concerned for him because I think he thinks it's easy. I'm not certain he'll put the work in. I know I did not, and I don't want Craig to embarrass himself.
So, yeah,
I mean, that's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think much like your New York Yankees take, you're off base on a lot of this.
Really?
Why? I think that Craig doesn't think that it's easy. Okay. I think he knows how difficult he is, and I think he's going to take it seriously.
Oh.
And I think he's going to do a good job with it. I think people will be surprised.
So I just applied all of my characteristics and traits to Craig Carton.
Yeah, you did. Right, exactly.
That's totally unfair. Apologies, Craig.
And this is a regular season game. It's not an exhibition game.
Right.
And he's also sitting next to someone that he's had a checkered past with.
Right.
In Susan, where they didn't get along because of Craig's impersonation of her, and she didn't like it. And now they've ironed that out, apparently, enough for them to do three games together.
Right.
Like, he's not, like, you're sitting there with two friends of yours.
Well, I mean.
You know what I mean.
You mean David Sampson.
So, you know, you're sitting there next to guys that you've worked with and know.
Yeah.
Where this is the first time Craig and Susan have really ever done anything.
But I am sitting with two people who want me to look bad.
That's true. Yeah.
So does Susan, do you think Susan wants Craig to succeed and look good?
That's a really good question.
I know.
That's a really good question.
Huh.
You know, I don't
she might
know.
Sabotage him?
No.
No.
I don't think she'd go. Let's put it this way. If he came out of the thing with negative reviews, I don't know that she'd be upset about that.
Right.
But I'll say that. But I don't know. But unlike you, I'm not going to put an entire, I don't know, 6 or 7 paragraphs in her mouth. Like you did with Michael Kay and John Sterling, where you decided exactly what they were thinking.
Craig, you got to work in very small windows, okay? That's my experience. Less is more when you're doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
Especially baseball.
Yeah.
Except when you have to fill. And so.
So there's a lot of people who dreamt of doing play-by-play. I never did. We were asked by the Devils 2 years in a row to call hockey games.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing that. And I was better than I thought I'd be at it.
Were you nervous?
I was. Yeah. No, I was nervous, and it was
out of your
season
element,
game.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I took it seriously. And actually, one of these days was like the Rudy Gobert COVID day. I think, actually, believe it or not, like
where he touched all the microphones at the press conference.
That was that was the second time we were there.
Right.
But no, I was pleased with it, and I remember. Funhouse, who's a guy who posts all the Francesa and Coward audio and everything else, he put my radio play-by-play call to some of the TV highlights, and I was really appreciative of him doing that because you could actually see that I was not that far off. But it is difficult, man.
It's hard, man.
It is. I walked out of that thing with so much more respect for the guys that do it than I ever had, and that's why I kiss Brendan Burke's ass so much. The guy who does the Islander games in National NHL, who's a part of this Yankees play-by-play mix, is because he is so good at that.
Yeah.
That it's like I'm in awe of it. Having done a couple of hockey games now, I'm in literal awe of how Brendan Burke does it.
It gave you a newfound respect for guys who do play-by-play. You didn't realize it was that difficult, how difficult their job is and how easy they make it sound and look, right?
Well, the good ones, yes.
Yes, the good ones.
Because
I walked out of that, those three clips you just heard, and I said, hey, if you give me 5 more reps, I could be the voice of the Marlins. And I told the voice of the Marlins that, Glenn Geffner at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Geff said, hey, I heard some potential there. And I said, where? when?
Swing and miss.
Thank you. I mean, the 0-1. That was the highlight. The 0-1.
The
0-1. Yeah, it sounds professional.
Now, were you a guy that wanted, I know you wanted to work here, but you're not a play-by-play guy.
Never. Like, I did a Final Four women's lacrosse for ESPN.
Oh, nice.
And I enjoyed doing that. I was an analyst, though. I was not the lead play-by-play guy. I've never had any sort of desire to do play-by-play. And if I were to do it, it would never be baseball.
Mm.
Like, I just can't imagine being on the road that much. 162 games? Are you kidding me?
I know.
If the team's lousy, what do you do? I mean,
yeah, I mean, you read out of the media guide like Gary Keith and Ron do at the end of seasons. That's basically what they do.
You get Levitard and Stigatz to call the game.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting idea. And it came from the Yankees, too. This was not a WFAN-initiated thing. The Yankees wanted Craig to do this.
Why?
They like him. There's a relationship there. There's a couple of people that work for the Yankees that really like Craig and thought it would be interesting because this is the time that something like this could happen because they didn't name a full-time play-by-play guy yet. So, like, if you're going to try something different, you do it this year before you hire somebody next year and knock them out of the booth for something like this, you know?
Yeah. So, do you think Craig's going into it thinking, hey, if I do well, this is my job?
No.
Really? What, you don't think the Yankees would do that? Why? What if he knocks it out of the park?
The amount of money of what he's doing now for Fox Sports 1 compared to what they're going to pay the next Yankee play-by-play guy is the Grand Canyon.
A wide gulf, right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, when you got offered the job here.
Yeah, I understand, yes. Right. voice of the Yankees, I mean.
Well, that's what they're banking on is the title, right?
Yeah.
Like you get to be the voice of the Yankees.
Right, well, of course.
It's more important than the salary, of course. I mean, because what a great thing to put on your resume.
There's got to be a way you can pull both off. He's Craig Carton, right? Like, come on.
He did it here for a while.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
but the Yankee games are even later, and then you have to travel, too. So,
right.
I don't know. No, he's not. I think this is calling a few games will be a dream for him fulfilled, and that'll be that. And then they'll hire, you know, somebody else. Younger guy.
The low bidder.
I think you think that before you get in the booth and you do it and you love it and you're good at it and maybe you want to do more and maybe the Yankees want you to do more and all of a sudden Michael Kay's head is exploding.
I mean, I suppose there's a chance, but yeah. It's a very minuscule, minuscule chance.
Right.
But it'll be fun to listen. I'm going to be away when that's going on. So like the day that I come back, I think we're going to be at either Jets or Giants camp. So Jerry and Boomer are going to be listening to Craig, probably breaking it down on that Monday that I'm not here, and then I'll be back Tuesday with the football camps. Can't wait for that.
Yep.
You love excited? Those drives out there.
Come on, man.
Nothing like that. Checking how long it's going to take me to get home from Florham Park.
And Al breaking up his vacation, coming in, you know, from vacation to do that show.
What?
The Jets, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to come do the Jets show.
Really?
I'm off that week, but.
Really?
I'm not going anywhere. May as well do the Jet game. I'll move that day to another day.
Okay. Your vacation is Jets training camp?
That's correct. Yeah.
That doesn't, like, and you're okay with that?
I volunteered. They didn't even ask.
It's a big day.
Wow.
I want to see the Aaron Rodgers awkward interview.
Right. Oh, and if he gets the Egypt shirt he's talking about getting and gets a, you know, either a conversation with or about the shirt with Rodgers or gets a pic with him, I mean, can you imagine the attention?
I know. I'd be so excited.
Yeah, it's true. All right. I understand that. I get it now. I mean, honestly, I'd rather you interview Aaron Rodgers than us after what happened last year. And I'm dead serious about that. I don't need another crack at that.
Because Al wants to go in on the pyramids and the aliens.
Yeah, theory. Yeah, yeah. I'm fine.
You're fine?
I don't need to interview him again. I don't.
Boomer will have to interview him, though. Boomer loves talking to quarterbacks.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear that.
No, it's all
boring down
stuff.
Football. Come they on. Want to talk about all the right. craziness.
You don't have Aaron on to talk about football.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the last thing you should be discussing with Aaron. Right. It's why he came on our show so much. We never discuss football with him.
Yeah, we're going to have to go in with a serious game plan that day. Serious on how to break him down to get him to not be.
I say you let Al take the lead with the aliens and who built the pyramid.
I agree.
That thing.
It's where Aaron wants to go.
Yeah, we got to make you some like awkward on the spectrum genius though. We're going to turn you into that. Like you just wear like big giant sunglasses and just rock back and forth and be like. This man believes he was abducted by aliens, and he thinks he knows, like, you know, like something like that to intrigue him.
Right.
You know?
A guy who's on his side.
Right.
Yeah, a friend.
Just, you're just like, you just got a cauldron in front of you that's smoking. And you're just, God. Aaron, that'll get his attention.
Is that how you plan on bringing Al out?
Yeah.
Al, you good with this? I mean, it's a great plan. It is. Yes.
Because if he's just some regular sports talk radio guy hovering around the set, then he's not going to take him seriously.
You're 1,000% correct. You cannot present Al as a guy who's a regular part of the show. You brought him in just for this interview.
Yeah, like you got to get fake tattoos on your face and stuff. Like things like that.
I really need Aaron Rodgers' take on the missing Malaysian heir. I think that's one. I don't know that he's in on those conspiracies. Those are pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah, we've gone. Yes, yeah. We've gone deep into that. I'd like to hear that too. Yeah, I mean that. See, that's the way to go. I think
it is. What do you mean? That's the way to go. I think I'm telling you, it's the way to go.
I know. But the last time we tried to play, we got rejected. We've got Dikembe Mutombo right back in our face.
He wagged a finger at you?
I mean, it was, yeah.
Did you leave with football?
No. That's the thing.
Did you leave with aliens?
No. I led with, does he buy his own furniture? And he was not happy. And then Boomer went to a dishwashing story. He was even angrier.
I mean, next thing in Boomer's defense, you brought everyone there. Right?
Whew.
What was Boomer going to do?
But that had a lot to do with his day, the way that his day started.
I know it did. But I'm just assuming he's going to have that type of day again. I mean, it's New Jersey. You know? These things happen.
That day is every day.
Right. All right. Boomer and Gio.
I have it if you want to hear the beginning.
I would.
This is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I don't.
No, I need to. No, I need to hear it. I need to hear it.
No. This is the only thing Aaron and I have in common is
getting
out of traffic and doing
do
something you don't want to do. This is just, I'm telling you, man, you got to see now you're experiencing the true tri-state area deal here. Two overturned tractor trailers I heard out there.
Three.
Come on.
A little bit different than Green Bay, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully.
Yeah, but you know what? Just please, for the love of God, just post it somewhere so people can listen to it. I cannot listen back to that.
We all have moments in our career that we can't listen to.
Yeah, I really cannot.
It's on YouTube. And yeah. It's 18 minutes long.
Okay, so yeah, if you'd like to listen to the most awkward, horrible 18 minutes of the Boomer and Geo show.
When he first sat down, he wasn't looking at you.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did.
Right.
I don't think he ever looked at us. Not one time.
I mean, Al is such a good idea. It really, like, leading with Al, letting Al handle the proceedings. Yeah. How could it go any worse?
I mean, and just having Al, like, make certain sounds just out of nowhere.
Yes.
Just go,
yes. You should actually, on the front end, say, listen, we were terrible the last time we had you on.
Yeah.
We weren't thinking about you. We were thinking about us. We weren't thinking about the things you want to talk about. It was the things we wanted to talk about.
Right.
So we brought an expert in.
Right, exactly.
A guy who agrees with just about everything it is that you say.
Yeah, right.
That's how you do it.
Right, a conspiracy theorist shaman.
Yes, you went out of your way to bring this person over to the floor and bark with you.
Yeah, we found him. We identified him. We got to give him a name. Right?
We
got to figure out the
well,
right.
Well, what exactly
name.
Is he? Is he a conspiracy theorist? Like, what exactly...
Hey, actually, you know what? Here's a good... He came from the future.
Ooh, I like it.
Claims that he came from the future.
Time traveler.
Right.
Time traveler.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I like it. He's got to come through like an entrance. It's got to be like a vortex, you know?
A blind, on-the-spectrum, time-traveling shaman. With tattoos on his face. That's the one. That's interesting to him.
We're going to great measures to make an Aaron interview good.
Right. Furniture, dishwashing, no.
Yeah.
Blind shaman, yes. Time traveling shaman.
Boomers follow. Two, three.
Who says Kennedy is going to be the president in 28?
Oh. Really?
RFK shirt.
Yeah.
On the shaman.
There you go. RFK, yeah.
RFK Jr. shirt on the blind shaman.
Time traveling shaman.
Do you go RFK Jr. / Rogers?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
Wait, that's too much.
Might piss him
off. I think he might take that as patronizing.
Huh.
You gotta, it's a fine line.
Are we going to get this done? I mean, I'll be gone. I'll be back in Florida.
Right.
But Al, please make this happen.
But you know what? Eddie would be the better one to do that.
Wow.
If we were going to have a muse, Eddie would be perfect. Because you actually know a bunch of wacky stuff too, where you could talk to him about things where you actually sound like you know what you're talking about, because you generally do. So that would be perfect.
Eddie in or
hello.
Yeah, but would I be playing myself or playing the part you described?
No, this guy from the future with tattoos all over his face.
Right. I mean, you'd sort of be playing, like, you know, Paul Sirico, who is passed away. He was Paulie Walnuts in The Sopranos. Like, he was playing a character, but it was also half of himself. So that's what you would be. You'd be like half of you, but just like you on steroids,
right,
in a sense of like you just really, really out there more so than normal, but still the same voice and demeanor.
But not like part that of the show.
Right.
You're not a regular part of the show.
Right. We hired you just for the Aaron Rodgers interview.
And how do we get Boomer to sign off on all this?
It'd be great. It'd be like one weird question, then a quarterback question.
Right, exactly.
Then another bizarre question, yeah, then another quarterback question.
Yeah, yeah. That would, yes.
Yes, that's how you do it.
Okay.
Yes. Eddie gets a question, Boomer gets a question. Eddie gets a question, Boomer gets a question. That's what we did. Did you hear Boomer in that first interview? I mean, let Eddie handle it. Yeah, that's not a shot at Boomer. It's a tricky spot.
It was a combination of everything. It was him being upset, us freaking out when he wasn't playing along. The whole thing was just turds in a blender.
I love that you can't listen to it.
I can't. It's like watching a video of you crapping your pants. Like, I'm not going to go back and watch that again.
Did he try to show you that?
What's that?
Did he try to show you that? What? A video of himself crapping his pants?
No.
I thought that might have happened at 7 o'clock.
No.
It almost did.
That's right. That's true. I forgot about that already.
I don't know if anyone's ever crapped their pants in this studio, but I'm telling you, I came, if they haven't, the closest it's ever come to happening was around 7 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, I threw up in this garbage pail right here once with the norovirus. Yep.
Really?
Yeah, I was wrapped in a blanket. I was shivering. Hmm. I still came into work.
And somehow
no one got sick.
And there's tape of that also.
There has to be, yeah. There has to be.
Can you get through that?
I'd rather watch that than listen back to you. I swear to God. I would rather watch me puking in a garbage pail with the norovirus than go back and listen to the Aaron Rodgers interview again.
Mm.
All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan in CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is here. He's got an update and moment of the day. What's going on, Chris?
Hi. Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Quickly with the baseball, because we want to get to some other stuff here. You did have the Mets over the Yankees. Jeff McNeil stays hot. Go ahead. 2-run homer in the sixth. The Mets held on 3-2. And the immortal Jake Diekman closing out Aaron Judge and the Yanks in the bottom of the ninth. So the Mets are now in position for the 4-game season sweep. Sean Manaea, Garrett Cole tonight. Pregame on the Fan 625. Also on the free Odyssey app. CC Sabathia on the 611 podcast. I mean, there's a million podcasts. It's Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, and they ask him for a Derek Jeter story that he's actually allowed to tell, one that's not, you know, embargoed or that could get him blackballed by Jeter. And he delivered a decent one. This is about a minute long or so.
Jeter is super, super superstitious.
Really?
Like, he does the same thing every day.
Really?
Every day. Every day he does the same thing. So one day we were in Kansas City, and y'all been to Peachtree, soul food restaurant in Kansas City?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's heaven on earth. It's the best soul food I ever had in my life. Fried chicken, catfish, greens, everything, everything, mac and cheese. So for lunch, I'm like, gee, you want to go with me to lunch? I'm like, I'm going to this place, Peachtree. It's a soul food restaurant. He was like, cool, sure. So we always had to stop at Starbucks first. Like, I had a rental car. We stopped at Starbucks. We go to Peachtree. I mean, this food is so heavy, y'all. Y'all know soul food. Like, yeah. Like, we eat this food, and then we both sleeping on the couch, like, before the game. Jeet wakes up, goes 5 for 5. 5 hits. But, like, his stomach is hurting. Like, he can barely run the bases. Like, he's hurting, bro. The next morning, he calls me at 11. He was like, you ready to go? I'm like, go where? You know me, I'm, bro, I'm 330 pounds. He was like, the pea shells, I can't eat that shit again.
I mean, superstitious Derek Jeter when you go 5 for 5. I mean, anyone, yeah, you got to go run back. That back.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, especially if the food's good, right? Who cares if it's coming out the other end at some point, right?
You went 5 for 5.
Yeah, right.
Who cares if it's coming out the other end at some point?
Even if it's out on the field, which sounded like he was kind of close to that.
You would take that exchange every day.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. I made 5 for 5 coming out the other side.
Yep. Yeah.
Go back for more.
It's a good trade-off. All right, so Monday, you had David Wells on the Midday Show with BT and Sal. Yesterday, they rang up Johnny Damon as they continue their... I guess it was a Subway Series flavor, but this is more Yankees Red Sox related, I guess. So Damon's still a little sour about how his Yankees career came to an end, but having won championships with both the Yanks and the Red Sox, thinks he might be responsible for this current Yankees drought, as it turns out.
Being in the same sentence as Babe Ruth and I as the only two starters who have won for both franchises, but I mean, it's been 15 years since the Yankees have been back. I mean, I know I helped break the curse of the Bambino. Maybe I started another curse of Johnny Damon for the Yankees.
That's a little bit of a stretch, I think it'll say. Right?
Today on BT and Sal, they're interviewing the bat that Roger Clemens threw at Mike Piazza.
The shard.
Yeah.
Shard of wood.
Common opponents. Oh, man.
Common opponents.
Wow. All right, here's the Giants staff acknowledges from Hard Knocks, acknowledging the, I guess, likelihood that they wouldn't be able to draft one of the quarterbacks they liked at number 6, weighing the option and the risk of trading up for one. So you got Brian Daboll running through some recent draft history as it pertains to the QBs after GM Joe Shane speaks here.
What we're missing is a number one receiver to really help Daniel, but you're going to miss out on that. Now maybe we could get one at 47.
So basically, in the last, 3 years of the draft, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 out of the 8 quarterbacks are on different teams. Or you could have the 2020 class and be Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Jordan Love. That could be this year's class. Who knows?
All right, and then he proceeds to list every quarterback drafted in the first round across the last decade and finished with this question.
How many of them hit in the last 10 years?
Oh, we're doing this.
Not a lot.
What do you take from that, Dames?
Take a Stroud.
Now, do you think he heard... So Shane says, what do you take from that, Dabes? Meaning the list of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he correctly heard him, or do you think he heard Shane and thought he said, who do you take from that? Meaning the list.
Oh.
Because I thought...
That's a good question.
Because what, like... What do you take from that? It's a clever answer. Well, I take Stroud.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm just wondering if he just unknowingly answered thinking it was who instead of what.
Yeah.
Because to me, Shane's saying, well, what do you, meaning is a lot of swings and misses, and it's very risky.
Yes.
He goes with Stroud.
I know.
I love the fact that when you listen to this stuff, they take you that deep inside. They're acknowledging we're guessing.
Yeah.
Like, we have no idea the quarterback might be good. Might not be good.
It almost seemed like they were on Wikipedia going through the draft results. Like they're on their phones, like, in this 2015, it was this, and then 16, they're all on the phones and on the computers and basically having the same kind of conversation that we do really here.
Exactly right.
I mean, it's hard to predict these trends because they're all individuals. And you could also, I want to go through every one of the positions too and find out if it's any different. Is it worse or less, you know, some of these busts?
Yes.
The physical talent I think is easier to kind of spot. What you can't really figure out, and it's hard to do it in an interview, it's you don't get to know these guys that well, is once he gets the money and the job, will he take it seriously?
Yeah.
You just don't know. You can't predict it. It's impossible.
And you're right about the other positions, but because there's such a premium on the quarterbacks, they're always going to go higher. We've seen that over the course of the last decade or so. Guys that clearly shouldn't be taken before other players, but because the position, there's such a premium on it, and then you ended up investing that draft capital, and it can set you back significantly.
But, I mean, I don't like the idea of staying away from a quarterback because of all the busts if you really love that quarterback. Now, they didn't have an opportunity.
Right.
So let's just say
trading up.
Right. They're trading up, which is a different story altogether. But if they were 1, 2, and 3... and they were using some of this info to say we shouldn't take a quarterback 1, 2, or 3 because there's been so many busts, I don't think you can factor that in. I think you do your evaluation every year and you say, this guy is our guy. Like, I am going to stake my reputation on him.
Yeah.
But it's hard because you also know that hitting on those quarterbacks is the best way to build a roster in the NFL. That's why so many of them get overrated.
It seemed like that was more about the tax they'd have to pay
Correct.
To come up and take the guy. Because we heard Dable gushing about Jaden Daniels, obviously, but they weren't in a position to make that choice.
Right.
A couple of other Saquon Barkley cuts from the sit-down with Diana Rossini that we did not get to yesterday, addressing the relationship or lack thereof with Joe Shane.
He made a comment, said that it took 10 years off his life. Like, if it took 10 years off your life, what do you think it did for me?
Yeah.
But, like, they made offers to me, but it was, like, my offer. I never really got a true negotiation.
And while the Giants took care of other players long-term, Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence,
Andrew
Thomas.
Wait a second. If you get an offer but you don't have a true negotiation, isn't that on you?
I suppose.
You got the offer, right.
Right. So the
you
way
didn't you negotiate.
Right.
Right. Here's the offer. Here's the counteroffer.
That's the starting point. So you can't say that I got an offer, but there was no real negotiation and blame that on the Giants.
All right. Well, he made it more about once they made the decision to tag him.
Right.
With the franchise tag last year, and then feeling like from that point on, there was not as much of a dialogue or willingness to talk about numbers.
I didn't like the. Because I get the business, but it's like they have the tag, right? So when they tag me now, they have all the leverage. And it's just like, all right, I get you have all the leverage, and you should do this. Like, you're doing your job. But at the end of the day, like, can I get some respect, too? Like, just can we get this thing going? Like, can we find a way, like, the same way how you found a way to get DJ done, how you get Dex done, Andrew done? Can we find a way to get me done?
I guess he felt like once the tag was there, it was either, you know, it was the tag or what the Giants wanted, and there was really no other wiggle room, so... Anyway, that was Barkley from the Scoop City podcast, which you guys covered a little bit
yesterday. Sounds like he's pretty pissed. Like, the guy's not, he's not happy to not be a Giant, it feels like, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Giants clearly didn't want him. I mean,
he's a victim of what that position is valued
has become, yes.
That's, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this D'Amador Lenore sound. So he was on with Kay Adams, up in Adams, and she's interviewing him, and I guess in the background she takes notice of... You know, the smoke detector beep is going off, so she's just trying to ask him about that and find out what's going on with that situation.
My smoke detector still go off right now.
I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
Is that your smoke detector?
Yes. I didn't switch the batteries. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
D'Amador, were you sleeping with this going like? Well, I don't understand.
I didn't hit switch so hard as I don't even hear it.
You're telling me you slept an entire night with that noise in the background? How many nights?
This has been going on since last season. It's been good luck. So I just let it go. Like, I've been playing good so far the whole season. I just, you know, I'm kind of superstitious. Like,
are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
All right, so she follows up. And look, these guys, we understand.
Derek Jeter, yeah.
Right, yeah, a little 5 for 5. You go back to that soul food restaurant. Yeah. So she recognizes, all right, it's an NFL player. He's probably got multiple residences, right? He's not living year-round, playing for the 49ers. So she did follow up here.
Where are you right now? Like, where?
Santa Clara.
You're in Santa Clara, and you're there often, and you're telling me that you haven't changed the battery in your smoke detector in over a year?
Yes.
And you don't even hear that?
Like, I don't even hear it no more.
And it's because you're superstitious.
Superstitious.
D'Amador, this is the crazy... I've done a lot of crazy things. I've heard a lot. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I literally want to scratch my skin off because I keep hearing this noise and you don't even hear it.
I mean, if that thing starts going off in my house.
The worst.
I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, no, and you're trying to figure out which one it is.
Yeah.
You don't know how to turn it off.
And if you have a
just
dog,
throwing things at it, you know.
If you have a dog that really hurts their ears and they go nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that sound, they did some research on to how to make the most annoying sound of all time. And he's just letting it go. I mean, that is some...
For a year.
He doesn't even hear it. I mean, that's what he said.
Tuned it out.
Huh.
I mean, dealing with it during the day is one thing. Sleeping through the night? Like, falling asleep with that going on?
That's some psychotic behavior. That's legitimately psychotic behavior.
Well, it's
really
impossible.
Good focus,
do you guys do the whole ladder thing? You get up there, you try
to
unscrew it?
Yeah. Really? Sure.
No, I just throw stuff at it.
What do you do? Levitate?
Just throw stuff at it until it shuts off. You had me on a ladder?
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, man.
Get hurt up there. I mean,
Bills rookie wideout, Keon Coleman. We've heard from him a little bit. He's a character. If you remember, after the draft, he did the thing about the Macy's sale with the coats.
I do remember
and everything.
That, yes.
He also had one from... their combine interview, we talked about loves to play golf, but he's not any good. So he's just, you know, he's a colorful guy. So the Bills have been pumping out some of his funnier stuff. So they had one where they put out him trying to sign his rookie contract. This, I think, was from yesterday. And he got a little confused. So they had one of the members of the front office there, or an agent or something. So he tries to ask them, well, how exactly do I go about doing that?
I got a question for you. We're sitting there, I'm going to put my whole name on kind of signs. Whichever way you want to sign it. I'm saying, like, I'm signing the autograph, or, like, yeah. I'm saying, I don't sign the autograph and put my whole name on my back. Put your whole name.
He needed his signature on the contract, and he asked, "What? How do I sign my name? Do I sign it like I'm signing an autograph?"
Cut him. Exactly. I would take that contract right away from him at that moment and be like, "I'm sorry, you're released."
Oh boy, poor guy.
How's he going to learn a defense? Or an off? What is he, a cornerback?
He's a wide out.
Oh, you're going to learn an offense. Receiver.
You're going to turn this into a serious take, aren't you? I'm so proud of you. Go, yeah. Just go. Just do it. Go for it. I mean,
you see some.
How's he going to read an offense if he can't figure out how to sign his own name? Go ahead.
Right. Just
say it.
You see some of the stuff in Hard Knocks and the things that they're going through and all the different routes, and he doesn't know how to sign his name on a piece of paper?
Yeah, it was a little questionable. But again, if you listen to him break down the whole Macy's sale, you don't go at Thanksgiving, you got to buy your coats two seasons in advance, you get the best. He's clearly got an interesting mind, a different way of thinking about
things. He thinks too much. I mean, just sign the damn thing.
Yeah, right. Put your name on.
Or Gino cuts you.
That's your take. He thinks too much?
I just called you Gino.
Better than NC from yesterday. Oh, man. Last thing before we get to moment of the day from the what could go wrong category. Paul George is asking Philadelphia to bring on the criticism. Quote, be as critical and as hard as you can. I'm looking forward to it. We'll see how that works out for him.
I'm tired of him.
As the Sixers get ready to have their a little bit of a new look. So very good. All right, let's get to moment of the day. It's brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, remind you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. Probably could have been that whole last segment with you forced to relive your Aaron Rodgers interview from last year, but we also had former President Trump playing some golf with Bryson DeChambeau and throwing some shade the way of the current president, as it turned out.
And then he hits that one, he put one within like 10 feet on a par 3 Trump in this video. You got it?
All right. The one where he takes the little dig?
Yes. All right.
Oh, beautiful. Come on. Oh, what a shot! Partner, great shot. That's how you do it right there. Gosh.
You think Biden can do that? I don't know. We had an argument about golf. Can you believe it?
I saw him on CNN.
I don't even know if Bryson can do that.
I don't think I can do that. If President Trump gets inside of me, I don't know what's going on.
Well, we know what he meant by
yes,
that.
We do.
Get your mind out of the gutter, guys.
But, Gio, tell me this. If Trump actually played Biden, spotted him two strokes a hole for the presidency, and it would not be the most watched golf event or sporting event in the history of our country.
Right.
That's how we should settle elections moving forward.
And Eddie did say two literal strokes.
Oh, God. Jeez.
And that's going from a Democrat in there.
Eddie's little nuggets in the ear is like a show in and of itself.
Oh, yes.
That's like a side podcast of some sort.
75% of it could not be repeated.
Well, that's why, it'd have to be podcast
form. It would get bigger ratings than the Masters, though. I'm telling you. I mean, it'd be the fifth major.
Oh, I thought you meant the Eddie's talk.
No.
By the way, let's see how many views that video has now this morning. It was
Where was it
this morning?
It was over 1 million last night.
All right.
So
it's got to be up by like 3 million right now.
4
right?
million views.
Wow.
Jeez.
So to answer your question, yes. The Trump-Biden match.
Thank you.
I mean, not even 24 hours, it's got 4 million views.
Bryson knows what he's doing, man. He's living well.
I mean, it's amazing. Just like the analytics that he took to the game of golf, he's now using those same thoughts to maximize his his potential off the course. It's crazy.
And was mocked for it quite a bit, but right now he's having the last laugh.
Right, he was the dork with the protractor, just hit the ball, and he hits the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's cool, and he's a fan favorite. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. U.S. Open winner again.
CeeLo, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I think we'll end the show right where the warm-up show ended their show. We were talking about this new Kelce cereal. And they mentioned, Al mentioned something I hadn't thought about in years. So Jason and Travis Kelce are launching a cereal called Kelce Mix. It's a combination of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs. Now, Cinnamon Toast Crunch in that group I was a big fan of. But I liked other, like, odd cereals for children. And not so much, I wasn't a child when I was eating this, but more like high school and out of high school.
Yep.
Big fan of Raisin Bran.
No.
And something Al mentioned that I cannot believe I ate as much as I did. I went on like a 5-year run where I was in love with Grape Nuts.
Really?
Loved Grape Nuts.
That is shocking.
And in a specific type of way, too, where I would... Now, Grape Nuts is the heaviest box in the world. It's a small box, but it's heavy. It's a bowl of Grape Nuts, and then you'd pour the milk in it, and you'd let the Grape Nuts sop up the milk so you had soggy Grape Nuts.
Yeah.
I could not eat crunchy Grape Nuts. Soggy Grape Nuts.
You like
nuts.
Your nuts soggy, yes.
Yes, I right. like the soggy nuts.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I remember when I thought, before I knew that like artificial sweeteners were not the way to go,
mm-hmm.
I'd get a packet of Splenda and right. put that on the top of it just for a little sweetness.
On the top of the Grape Nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And it was perfect.
Huh.
I don't know why I did that for so long, but I loved the Grape Nuts.
With Splenda.
With Splenda and milk. And probably almond milk at the time. Almond milk,
yeah.
Grape Nuts, and Splenda.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
It's one of the weirder things it that I've eaten.
Yeah. It seems like the Kelces are ready to take over the world. I mean,
yeah, they've gotten to the oversaturation point, though. I don't know if that's just with us.
Right.
But definitely with us. The only reason I brought them up was to talk about Grape Nuts, because I really have had it with them.
Really?
I can't. Too much. Too much.
Touchy subject. I'm sorry.
It's not touchy. It's just right. It's too much. Yes. I mean,
stick to Grape Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather.
Right.
But you don't get that sense that there's too much of them right now?
I don't. I mean, I was out in Tahoe and Jason Kelce. I mean, there are Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys are out there. The guy holding court after a practice round with 2,000 people around him, all screaming at him like he's Paul McCartney or John Lennon. He's perched up on a little rock. He's signing autographs. He's shaking
Travis
hands.
Or Jason?
Jason Kelce. It was Jason Kelce. And so I think you're probably right, because it's our jobs. They're in our industry. Perhaps it's overkill for us, but I think people love those too. I know people love those too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know, but Eagles fans, I can understand why you love Jason Kelce. I don't know why you would even care about Jason Kelce if you were a football fan of any other team. Travis, I get because of the Taylor Swift thing, and he's an offensive player who, you know, catches touchdowns and fantasy football and whatever. But
right.
What about Jason Kelce is interesting to a non-Eagle fan?
What's interesting is that, well, he's a nice guy. He's a great guy. The podcast is good. What's interesting is Travis is his brother, and Travis is dating Taylor Swift.
Well, okay.
So, it's interest by extension.
I mean, and...
No, you're right. I have told Jason Kelce this. Like, poor Creed Humphrey, the center for the Kansas City Chiefs. No one talks about him.
No.
He's just as good.
You could have just made that name up.
It's a real name, I promise you.
Yeah.
But Creed Humphrey, and I told Kelce this. Like, all the other centers throughout the history of time in the NFL must be outraged when they hear Joe Buck breaking down a pulling block by a center during a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah.
And Creed's like, hey, I've been doing that for 5 years. I have 3 rings. Don't talk about me.
Sort of like the rest of the WNBA when Caitlin Clark joined.
Yeah.
Like, we've been here forever.
Yes.
Why is it you that's getting all the attention?
Yes. Well.
Yeah. Well, now we know.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jason Kelce cannot dump Taylor Swift. I mean, Travis Kelce cannot dump Taylor Swift, because then his life is over. He is locked in. She's got to dump him or they got to get married.
Yeah.
Because he will turn into, you know, Mr. I'll sell cereal to everybody and love me and I can slam a beer and do the same bit every time I'm on stage to the devil,
right.
To people. They will hate his guts if he dumps her.
Be a tough fall. You're right. Right. He has to get
yourself in a corner.
Right. You got to get married or he has to get dumped. He cannot do the dumping.
And get dumped for not doing something bad. That's another thing that right. he is screwed. He can't cheat on her.
He can't do anything bad to her. She just has to get tired of him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
It's amazing. Right?
Or she has to cheat on him.
Yeah, that's the only way out. Yeah. You think he's, I can guarantee he's sitting around thinking about this, going, I am stuck. I got no way out.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I think we'll end the show right where the warm-up show ended their show. We were talking about this new Kelce cereal. And they mentioned, Al mentioned something I hadn't thought about in years. So Jason and Travis Kelce are launching a cereal called Kelce Mix. It's a combination of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs.
Mm.
Now, Cinnamon Toast Crunch in that group I was a big fan of. But I liked other, like, odd cereals for children. And not so much, I wasn't a child when I was eating this, but more like high school and out of high school.
Yep.
Big fan of Raisin Bran.
No.
And something Al mentioned that I cannot believe I ate as much as I did. I went on like a 5-year run where I was in love with grape nuts.
Really?
Loved grape nuts.
That is shocking.
And in a specific type of way, too, where I would... Now, grape nuts is the heaviest box in the world. It's a small box, but it's heavy. It's a bowl of grape nuts, and then you'd pour the milk in it, and you'd let the grape nuts sop up the milk so you had soggy grape nuts.
Yeah.
I could not eat crunchy grape nuts. Soggy grape nuts.
You like
nuts.
Your nuts soggy, yes.
Yes, I right. like the soggy nuts.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I remember when I thought, before I knew that like artificial sweeteners were not the way to go,
mm-hmm.
I'd get a packet of Splenda and right. put that on the top of it just for a little sweetness.
On the top of the grape nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And it was perfect.
Huh.
I don't know why I did that for so long, but I loved the grape nuts.
With Splenda.
With Splenda and milk. And probably almond milk at the time. Almond milk,
yeah.
Grape nuts, and Splenda.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
It's one of the weirder things it that I've eaten.
Yeah. It seems like the Kelces are ready to take over the world. I mean,
yeah, they've gotten to the oversaturation point, though. I don't know if that's just with us.
Right.
But definitely with us, the only reason I brought them up was to talk about grape nuts because I really have had it with them.
Really?
I can't. Too much. Too much.
Touchy subject. I'm sorry.
It's not touchy. It's just right. It's too much. Yes. I mean,
stick to grape nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather.
Right.
But you don't get that sense that there's too much of them right now?
I don't. I mean, I was out in Tahoe and Jason Kelce. I mean, there are Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys are out there. The guy holding court after a practice round with 2,000 people around him, all screaming at him like he's Paul McCartney or John Lennon. He's perched up on a little rock. He's signing autographs. He's shaking
Travis
hands.
Or Jason?
Jason Kelce. It was Jason Kelce. And so I think you're probably right because it's our jobs. They're in our industry. Perhaps it's overkill for us, but I think people love those two. I know people love those two.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know, but Eagles fans, I can understand why you love Jason Kelce. I don't know why you would even care about Jason Kelce if you were a football fan of any other team. Travis, I get because of the Taylor Swift thing, and he's an offensive player who, you know, catches touchdowns and fantasy football and whatever, but
right.
What about Jason Kelce is interesting to a non-Eagle fan?
What's interesting is that, well, he's a nice guy. He's a great guy. The podcast is good. What's interesting is Travis is his brother, and Travis is dating Taylor Swift.
Well, okay.
So, it's interest by extension.
I mean, and...
No, you're right. I have told Jason Kelce this. Like, poor Creed Humphrey, the center for the Kansas City Chiefs. No one talks about him.
No.
He's just as good.
You could have just made that name up.
It's a real name, I promise you.
Yeah. But Creed Humphrey, and I told Kelsey this, like all the other centers throughout the history of time in the NFL must be outraged when they hear Joe Buck breaking down a pulling block by a center during a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah.
And Creed's like, hey, I've been doing that for 5 years. I have three rings. Don't talk about me.
Sort of like the rest of the WNBA when Caitlin Clark joined.
Yeah.
Like, we've been here forever.
Yes.
Why is it you that's getting all the attention?
Yes. Well.
Yeah. Well, now we know.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jason Kelsey cannot dump Taylor. Travis Kelsey cannot dump Taylor Swift because then his life is over. He is locked in. She's got to dump him or they got to get married.
Yeah.
Because he will turn into, you know, Mr. I'll sell cereal to everybody and love me and I can slam a beer and do the same bit every time I'm on stage to the devil, right, to people. They will hate his guts if he dumps her.
Be a tough fall. You're right. Right. He has to get
yourself in a corner.
Right. You got to get married or he has to get dumped. He cannot do the dumping.
And get dumped. Get dumped for not doing something bad. That's another thing that he is screwed. He can't cheat on her.
He can't do anything bad to her. She just has to get tired of him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
It's amazing. Right?
Or she has to cheat on him.
Yeah, that's the only way out.
Yeah.
You think I can guarantee he's sitting around thinking about this, going, I am stuck. I got no way out.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.